Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. We pray every week and all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge. And no matter who comes through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, we have already prayed for you, and we trust that you will sense the presence of God in this place, and you'll be open to receive a message from the Holy Word that God has preserved for us. And so that's where we're at right now. Philippians in chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 4. Philippians chapter 2, if you would stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to. Philippians in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, we love you and thank you, Lord God, for, first of all, loving us, which gives us opportunity to receive that love and to love you with our lives. And I trust this morning, Lord, as we have assembled here together, that each and everyone here would be able to sense your presence in this place. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Last several weeks we've been in somewhat of a series based on John chapter 10 and verse 10, where the Bible says, "The thief cometh," and Jesus explaining that the thief was the devil himself, "but the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's Satan, our adversary. That's his desire. That's his goal, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said this, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So we've been looking at this idea of the abundant life. Now, stopping for a minute, just think about this. Jesus was God and is God, and who was manifested in the flesh. And he brought to us on planet Earth, he brought to humanity an opportunity to have a life that's beyond anything that we could ever imagine in the flesh. And not only can we have this life, which is spiritual life, but we can have it more abundantly. Amen. If you believe that God has something and brought it to you, then who would not want to receive what God has for you? The devil has a stronghold on physical life because of a sin nature. Every one of us have it. We were born with it. Nothing you can do about it. It's there. It's part of who you are. It's inside of you. It's a sin nature. And because of that sin nature, the devil has a stronghold. Jesus came to set us free from the stronghold of the sin nature. And to give us, you can't buy it, you can't purchase it, you can't earn it. It's a gift. And to give us spiritual life. The main hindrance to this spiritual life is sin. We preached on that. Everyone chooses how you live your life. You have a free will. When you choose to sin or go opposite the will of God, then you are yielding to the devil's plan to steal, kill, and destroy. We make the decision not to sin, but to follow the direction and the example of Christ, then we have that gift and we can have that life that God wants us to have. Last week, and we've studied on several different things, but last week we looked at our need to follow Christ's example of love and hate. It's part of living this life. We all have these powerful feelings that come from inside of us of love and hate. What we do with those feelings, how we act upon those feelings, will make a difference in our lives. As we follow after the example of Christ, then we can have the blessings of the abundant life. As we turn away from those and we allow the flesh to determine how we love and how we hate, then that will feed right into the devil's plan as well. This morning in Philippians in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, as we've just read, this is our text this morning, this is what we're looking at. To experience abundant life, we need to follow Christ's example of serving others. The Bible says there in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory in the pride of man, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem other better than ourselves. And then he says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so the question I want to present to you this morning is, are we living our lives focused on ourselves? If you're living your life focusing only upon yourself, you're never going to enjoy the abundant life. Many sacrifice their long-term abundant life for immediate but temporal pleasures. It might feel good to cater to yourself, but it will only be a temporal pleasure. If you're wanting the blessings of the long-term abundant life, then we must do as the Bible reveals to us and do as the example of Christ dictates, and that is to focus on others. If you will, the abundant life demands a commitment to others. In the book of 2 Corinthians, just let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus came to die for all of us. He had all humanity on his mind. When he hung on Calvary's cross, he had you on his mind as another. All humanity was on his mind. That's why it says, and that he died for all, that they which live, which would take in every one of us here today, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. As an example for us, Jesus lived a life that we might learn from and follow after. And so he says here in Philippians in chapter 2, as Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is writing this letter to the church, the believers in Philippi, he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, if. Now I love, you have to focus on that because that's so important right there. Because he uses that several times. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, these things, they are part of the spiritual life. that are part of what we can have in Christ that brings to us this abundant life. If we're going to have them, then it demands that we think of others. So what are these? First of all, what are these? First of all, the consolation in Christ. The consolation in Christ. What does Christ bring to us when we receive Him as our personal Lord and Savior and we yield to His ways, the living as He would have us to live? The consolation is, that word consolation is comfort. It's strength. It's encouragement. If we are to have this and experience this, the Bible says you have to be mindful of others. If you're going to have this, first of all, this consolation, being consoled by God in the inner me. You see, there's going to be things that you're going to face and have to go through that the only one that's going to be able to encourage you, the only one that's going to be able to strengthen you, the only one that's going to be able to comfort you is going to come from inside of you. And that's Christ living inside of us. The Bible says over in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, again, write these verses down, go back and study them, but verse 3 and 4 says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." He's a God of all comfort, and I want the comfort of God. Because it's unlike any other encouragement you can get in the world. It's not like any other strength. It's like no other comfort that you can give. And God has this comfort for us. He says, "Who comforted us in all our tribulation." Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're going to have to face, His comfort is there available to you that we may be able to comfort them. Who's them? It's others. God comforts us to equip us to be able to think of others. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The consolation in Christ. If you have it, you don't want to be without it. If you've never experienced it, you've never experienced spiritual life. You've never experienced the abundant life that Christ wants you to experience. I guarantee you, you want it. To be able to have it, you have to live your life thinking of more than just yourself. You have to live your life thinking about others. The second thing that He gives us here that is associated with this abundant life that we can have in Christ, and that is the comfort of love. If there's any comfort of love. Now, somewhat last week, we've seen the power of love, and we've seen the power of hate, and we've seen how Jesus Christ gave us an example of how to love. He loved all humanity. It's always a sin not to love humanity. But there is a hate involved, and the hate is only right when it is a hate against iniquity. The things that God says that He hates, every born-again believer needs to hate what God hates in the way that God hates it. And every born-again believer needs to love what God loves in the way that Jesus Christ revealed it. Amen. And that'll change your concept. That'll change your joy in this life. It is part of the abundant life, but it is dependent upon loving and hating as Christ loved and as Christ hated iniquity. And so this idea, the comfort of love, is something that we can have. But sad to say, so many do not have. Is this life worth living without love? I vividly remember when I was 15 years old, I loved in my mind, in my heart, a girl who didn't love me back. Shelly Scott. I still remember her name. I gotta be careful because this is all live stream now. She's probably 15 years old. Because this love that I had was so powerful in my own heart and my mind, how could I live if she didn't love me back? But she didn't love me back at the time. At 15 years old, I thought, I have no desire to live any longer. And that was real to me. Because of the power of love, the power of love can either encourage you to live or discourage you to not even want to live. Can I tell you, there's so many suicides today, and we talked about this not too long ago. I think it was 1.4 million people last year attempted suicide because they had no reason to live. To have no reason to live means that I have no one that loves me. The way that I need to be loved. The power of love. The power of love. Many end their lives because of the absence of it. Sad to say, many end other people's lives because of the absence of it. How many times have you read in the paper, ex-husband kills wife and her boyfriend? Wasn't too long ago, just headline news, early release of prison. As soon as the guy got out of prison, he went directly, purchased a gun, killed his ex-wife because she did not love him back. He didn't want to live without her love, and he did not want to live, allow her to live loving someone else. What that person needs is Christ's abundant life. Because the comfort of God's love comes in all of our tribulations. You're going to face not being loved. You're going to face some tribulations in our lives. And listen to me, instead of ending life, you need to look to the one who can give you this comfort of love, which is a part of abundant life, which is available to all people. Which is determined if I'm going to have it by showing love to others. Showing love to others brings the comfort of God's love to us. Someone who does not feel loved, instead of ending your life, you know what you need to do in order to have the blessings of life, the spiritual life that God wants you to have, not depending on anybody else, dependent only upon Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. What you need to do is look to His example and look to love others. Because there's others that need your love. Something that the Word of God reveals to us, and it's a way of life, it's part of abundant life, is whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The biblical principle of sowing and reaping. The way that we get what we need is to give it. Instead of looking selfishly to find somebody who loves you, you ought to be focused on find somebody that needs your love. Somebody that God has brought into your life that you can encourage. Somebody that God has brought into your life that you can help. Somebody that God has brought into your life that you can get your heart and your mind off of yourself and put it on somebody else and say, God, I want to be used of you to be a help and a blessing to love others as you have loved me. And that'll give you purpose for living. That'll give you a part of that blessing of abundant life. Instead of going around saying, I need a friend. I want a close friend. But it's focused on you. The way that you find the friend that you need is to be the friend that someone else needs. And when you yield your life to live and follow after the example of Christ, then you have this abundant life available to you, and this abundant life that is available to you includes the comfort of God's love. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. What a blessing. And so many people are blinded to that. They just focus on themselves. So throw pity parties, want everybody to think about them and everybody cater to them. And that's the most miserable life that anybody could ever live. Get over yourself. Basically, maybe the reason that that person left you is because you were so selfish-minded. And you didn't think about anybody else. You're thinking about yourself. You'll never find true love by looking for somebody who loves you. You'll never find a true friend by trying to look around and find somebody who wants to make you their friend. No, the way that you do it, according to the abundant life, the spiritual life that we have available to us to live, and we have an example in Jesus Christ, is to love others. Think of others. Serving others brings to us the comfort of love. I'm glad that I didn't end my life when I was 15. The truth of it is that she ended up being my girlfriend. And then I realized I didn't love her. And I broke up with her. I would have taken my life over something that was not even true. I just thought that she was the one. And I just thought in my own mind I couldn't go on without her. And then God gave her to me to help me to see that's not the one. Yeah. God has a way of doing things like that. Yeah, just keep focused on Him. Yeah, don't end your life. Just find somebody else that God has for you to love. That God has for you to make a difference in their lives. That God has for you to represent Christ to. Yeah. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2, our text, because this is what this is a spiritual life. This is the abundant life, consolation in Christ. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God. It's available to every believer. Yeah. Matter of fact, if you're saved, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. You'll have, if you're saved, you have God in you for the rest of your life. If you're saved. And with God in you, you have access to the fellowship of His Spirit. Over in the book of 1 John, and write this down again, let me just help you go a little faster this way, but 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this, but if we walk in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. God's presence and His fellowship brings light to a very dark world and to a very dark humanity. You want to live in darkness? You choose to live in darkness. You want to live in light? You have to choose. The way that you live in the light is to live, to have fellowship of God. Which is, going back to it, if you're going to have it, you have to be mindful of others. How do you feel when you're in the presence of your best friend? If you feel like you're in darkness, that should not be your best friend, I guarantee you. Yeah. Being in the presence of your best friend ought to bring a smile. Being in the presence of your best friend ought to bring joy. Being in the presence of your best friend ought to do something for you. Fellowship of the Spirit. It's available to us. The last one He presents to us over there in Philippians in chapter 2. If any bowels and mercies. Bowels and mercies. Colossians in chapter 3, we find that Paul presents this, and this is what he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies from coming from within you. It's not just saying, I forgive you, but it's forgiveness from inside. It's compassion from inside. It's everything that God wants us to, and it's genuine. It's genuine compassion. It's genuine forgiveness. As we forgive others, we experience God's forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says this. Jesus says this. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Genuine forgiveness. That's the bowels and mercies from within. Genuinely, I don't have to live with bitterness because of what somebody's done. I don't have to live with anger. I don't have to live with the consequences of an unforgiving spirit. But when I'm thinking of others, I can look to Christ and I can have genuine bowels of mercies. Wow. That's part of the abundant life that's available to us. So, So go back with me to Philippians in chapter 2. If we are to experience these things, consolation, love, fellowship of God, genuine forgiveness, abundant life, we must serve others. Verse 3. And he says in verse 2, fulfill you my joy. God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to represent me. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Paul's writing in revealing Christianity. And he says, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. Nothing be done through strife or vainglory, pride, but in lowliness of mind, humbling yourself, let each esteem other better than themselves. Esteem others better than self. Romans 15:2 says this, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Who's our neighbor? Who do I have to think of when it's thinking of others? Now, the whole world, all humanity is your neighbor. We are neighbors on this planet Earth. You don't have opportunities a lot of times to really think of others that you have no contact with. Sometimes we do in sending missionaries. We're thinking of the lost around the world, and we as a church support worldwide missions. We send missionaries to represent Christ. We're behind them. We support them because we're thinking of those around the world that are lost that need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, we can do things like that, but personally, one-on-one, it's those who God brings into your life. If you see somebody with a need, are you quick to turn away from it? Because of the sacrifice it might cost you? If you do that, then you're not really thinking of others. And you're not living a life thinking of others. If you have a spiritual mentality, you're aware of God working in this world and knowing where he's planted you and knowing who he brings into your presence. That's somebody that you need to be mindful of. That coworker, probably the one that despises you the most. That you just soon looked at God and said, God, take him out of here. Would you get rid of this? We look at God as a hitman, you know. God, this person is just giving me a hard time. Would you just go ahead and take them out? And yet God says, no, I've put you there so that you might think of that person. What's your testimony like in regards to that person? Because if you are going to have these things that God gives you in abundant life, then this is part of getting these things, and you have to think of others that God brings into your life. We're missing out on the blessings of God because we are not willing to sacrifice ourselves for others. Esteem others better than self. And then lastly, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things. Saying not to take, you are to take care of yourself and you are to take care of your families and all that. That's not, we said not to do that. He says, but look not every man only on his own things, but every man also. He's got that also. Don't get so caught up in your life that you fail to think of others. But every man also on the things of others. A couple biblical examples that stick out to me. The very first one, it's recorded in the Bible, is Cain. He thought God ought to do things the way that he wanted them done, and have respect for his offerings. When you think that everyone else, even God, should think more of your thinking and your thoughts and what you want, that'll clue you in. You have problems. And when you continue in that thinking, you might do the same thing that Cain did when he killed his own brother Abel. Or possibly, as we're studying on Wednesday nights, Joshua, and they were defeated at Ai because of one man's selfish behavior, Achan. He only thought of himself, and he brought the entire nation of Israel to defeat from Ai. Wow. Don't destroy your family because of your own selfish thoughts. Don't destroy others around you because of being so selfish-minded. Don't lose out on the blessings of abundant life. You got to think of others. Closing with Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus giving instructions for Christianity, especially to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 11 and 12, he says this. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You want to be greatest among people, then serve them. Represent Christ to them. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. That word abased means humiliated. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. When you humble yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow in his example, you can have the abundant life, the blessings that God associates with the abundant life. Who wouldn't want it? Who wouldn't want it? If I could have every head bowed this morning, every eye closed. Abundant life is available. There's no other life like it, spiritual life. You choose whether you have it or not. Choose to follow the example of Christ. Father, we bow before you this morning and love you, Lord God, thanking you for loving us. Thank you for the truths of your word that helps us to know what needs to be done to get all that you have for us to receive out of this life, and even looking forward to everlasting eternal life in a place of heaven and glory. God, I pray that we would all be mindful of that, and even here this morning be convicted of things that we need to be convicted of, and possibly even today be willing to confess and forsake those things. Work in our midst today. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.